turn please to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we'll read from verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. I'd just like to consider two people, that is Peter and John, and just how that God brought together two opposites to fulfill his work. You see, we must recognize that we are all different. Our faces are different, our natures are different, our outlook is different, and there's many differences in us, personal differences. But here we find that God took up two men, absolute opposites, and used them to his eternal glory and brought about a work by them to his praise. That is Peter and John. We find here in Matthew chapter 4 where their difference was, how they were different. We find here that Peter was a fisher of men. He was called to become a fisher of men with Andrew, his brother. Peter was the man out there, and he was mightily used in the hand of God as a mighty fisher of men in a public way. Andrew, his brother, he too was a fisher of men in a private way. Remember, it was Andrew that brought Peter to the Lord in the first place. It was Andrew that told the Lord, Behold, there is a lad here with two fishers. He was a fisher of men, but he wasn't just out in the forefront. Here we find Peter, a man of action. He was fishing. Here, John, he was a different kind of person. He was mending the nets. One was the man of action, plenty of words to say, but don't condemn Peter, because God took up this man in a remarkable way. He used Peter in a sphere that he could not use John. He was just the man for the job. Remember the question asked in 1 Corinthians 4, who made you to differ? The answer is God. God brought in a difference, didn't he? You're different to me. I'm different to you. I need you. You need me. We're all in it together with all our different natures and different God-given abilities. But let us work together. And these two men, we find that the scriptures point out to us that these two men, though opposite in their mannerisms, they were mightily used by God. Don't be discouraged. You may think you may not be seen in the public eye. But remember, God has a place for you. He has given you a gift to use in whatever sphere. You be encouraged. You are part of the plan of God, like we all are a part of the plan of God. And these two men prove it. Peter and John. Peter was the man of action, but here we have John. He was a thoughtful man. He lived very close to the Lord, and he just understood something of the love of God. He often speaks of himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. The Lord Jesus did not love John any more than he loved Peter. But John understood and absorbed, and he kept himself in the love of God. He understood the very closeness of God himself. He understood what it was to have that very close fellowship with God. He understood the wealth of the love of God, and so should we. So these two men, we find the difference in the very first mention here in Matthew chapter 4. One was fishing and the other one was mending. John was a man, a deep thinker, and he had the ability to impart truth. He had the ability, as he lived very close to the Lord, to encourage us and to just guide us into the truths of the Word of God. Now we'll look at chapter 13 of John to see how these men are brought together again in the upper room. John 13, verse 21, when Jesus had said thus, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, "Lord, who is it?" And then the answer was given. So that although there were 11 disciples here present at this occasion, there's only two names mentioned, and they are brought together on this occasion, Peter and John. John was very close to the Lord. He was so close, he leaned upon him at supper time. Peter, the man of words, he at this point was not able to ask. I don't know why, because usually Peter is the man to speak up. But on this occasion, Peter would understand that there's only one person in this company who would be qualified to ask who it was, and that was the man sitting beside the Lord. And so we have Peter asking John, "John, would you ask the Lord Jesus who it is that would betray you?" And so the question was asked. Peter understood. John was the man. Now we'll turn to chapter 18 of John's Gospel. They're brought together again. John 18, verse 15, we're at the palace of the high priest. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, that is John, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, "Art not thou one of this man's disciples?" He saith, "I am not." And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them, and warmed himself. We find here, again, these two people are brought together, and now they're in the palace of the high priest. John went in with the Lord Jesus inside the door, and because Peter was following afar off, I would understand that the door was closed And when Peter arrived at this place, he was on the outside. You think of the thoughtfulness of John. He would realize that Peter was just not acting how he should. John had a very discerning mind, and he would understand that Peter was outside the door. Would he just leave him there and say, "Well, Peter, you really deserve all this. You've been following afar off. You should have been in here with me." No, John was a very sympathetic man. He had a heart for others. He was a considerate man. He was a spiritual man. Well, so was Peter. But Peter just needed help, and so do we all. John went and talked to the maid at the door and said, "Look, would you let Peter in?" Peter was brought in. John then went back to be identified with the Lord. But here we have Peter. When he came in, he went to the fire of coals. He identified himself with people who do not love the Lord. And here he became a misfit. You see, the indwelling spirit, the spirit of Christ that dwells within us, makes us a misfit in many, many places. We feel it. We feel a misfit in this world system. There is something within us that tells us that we really shouldn't be here. You think of how Peter must have felt this day as he was there beside the fire with these people. I am reminded of Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." See, Peter was following afar off. "Nor standeth in the way of sinners." Peter stood with them. "Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Peter sat with them. And here Peter is going through this tremendous pressure of this world system that is in opposition to the Lord. Now, at this point, did John write him off? No, he didn't write him off. John had this spiritual understanding that Peter needs help, and he was out to help Peter. He did not just write him off and say, "I'm not having anything more to do with this man." Because John understood that Peter was a man. Although he was, he gave expression to some things that he could not fully fulfill, like here. I will not forsake you, Lord. I will not forsake thee. Though all men forsake thee, I won't do this. And here he has found himself in a place where he could not fulfill what he has just said. But John understood that this man, Peter, he had a heart for the things of God. And within his breast was ticking a heart that really loved the Lord very dearly. And he needed help at this time. And here we find that Peter and John are brought together in this very unique situation. Other disciples may have been there, but it's Peter and John, the two opposites, brought together into the palace of the high priest. Chapter 19 of John's Gospel. Verse 25. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.' And he then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her out of his own home. The Lord upon the cross, he understood the very tremendous affection of John. This was a man who was mending nets. This was a man who was characterized by care and sympathy and an understanding for others. He was standing by the cross, and to think the high honor that the Lord asked this man to take Mary home. John would be the only person that would ever be able to fulfill this. John would be just the man to do this because of his makeup, his sympathy, his care, his thought, his deep understanding of the love of Christ. And so he was the man who was asked, but where was Peter? We don't read of him at the cross, and yet, 1 Peter 5, I am a witness of the suffering of Christ. Peter was there, you know. He was there as a witness to the sufferings of Christ upon the cross. Two opposite men, two opposite in nature, opposite in ability and gift and work to do. They were both there at the cross. Chapter 20 of John's Gospel. Verse 2. Mary Magdalene, she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith to them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. Brought together again. Here we have these two men, different in their attitude, different in their nature, different in their work, and yet they are now brought together at the tomb. And we have, they both ran. They're both running to the tomb. And John was a faster runner. Peter was following on his heels. John, the thoughtful man, the man that would consider, he knew that Peter was coming behind him. Would he just rush in and just take over as if to say, well, Peter, you couldn't run as fast as me. I've come here first. I'm going to just see it all before you. See, John was not like that. John was a very considerate man. He was a spiritual man. He understood that there were others too who their heart was true, beating true to the Lord. John came to the tomb. He arrived there, he knelt down, he looked in, he beheld what was in there. That was the attitude of John, thoughtful, caring, considerate. And here comes Peter. I just don't know whether he even slowed down. And here comes Peter with that the man of action. You can just see how different these men are. And he didn't even stop. Well, not told that. Where he came to the door and went straight in. He went straight inside the sepulchre. He saw it all. And then after Peter had seen it all, then came John in. I love John's attitude. But on the other hand, I love Peter's quick action because of his love for God. Don't write Peter off. Often you hear people just writing him off completely as if Peter did this and Peter did that. Look, so do we, brethren. This man, Peter, he beheld, and they were both in the tomb together, the two officers. Both in the tomb together. And then after they beheld all that was in the tomb, they went out and they went home, absolutely convinced that it is only the bodily resurrection of the Lord that had taken place. Brethren, we must remember at this point that although there are differences in nature, differences in work, you have something different than what I have to do. I can't do what you can do because you've got a special work, and so have we all. But these two men came together as strong as could be, without any difference in makeup or nature or anything else. They were firmly convinced, and there was total, absolute agreement on the fundamentals of the scriptures. Now, even though we look different, we are different, and God has made a difference in gift and ability, yet on fundamental truths, we stand as one. And gift has nothing to do with it. Whether we are gifted for one thing or another, we hold firm on the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus. His sinless humanity, his atoning death, and now we read of his bodily resurrection. Though we are all different, we believe that one thing. Is that true? Of course we do. It is a fundamental part of our Bible. And these two men, it says that they went home totally convinced that bodily resurrection had taken place. Chapter 21. These two men are brought together again. I just think it's incredible to think how the scriptures, although all the disciples are present in many of these occasions, but we just read of these two, the two officers. Chapter 21, we'll read from verse 7. We know that they all went out. Peter said, I go fishing, and really there's nothing wrong with going catching fish. There's nothing wrong with what Peter did. Don't condemn Peter for catching fish. There's nothing wrong with that. God just used this illustration afterward, though, just to convey a lesson that if we go out seeking to sow seed apart from the Lord, it is useless. Apart from taking the Lord with us as we preach the gospel of his grace, there will be no benefit at all, because we need the Lord with us in service. Verse 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. So here we have these two men brought before us together. We see this reaction. The Lord had said, cast the net on the right side of the ship. They all heard that. The disciples were all in the ship. Then when Jesus said this, and they caught the multitude of fish, the man of deep thought, John, the man of deep thought, he calculated the whole thing. And he said, really, the one who previously brought the wind upon the lake, the one who stilled the storm, had now control under the water. And he was the great creator of the universe, the one who knew every fish in the sea, and the mighty sovereign Lord of the universe. And John just said, it is the Lord. Spiritual mind, thoughtfulness, deep thinking. It is the Lord. That was the reaction that John had when the fish were caught. Peter, on the other hand, being the man of action, he thought, well, if John is the man of deep thought and he's told me, he's made it known that this is the Lord on the shore. The man of action just does something completely different. He had his inner garments on because it would make the fishing easier in the boat. Now the fishing was all over. The fish were caught. He pulled his outer jacket on. What did Peter do? Peter jumped out of the boat. The quicker I can get to the Lord will be the better for me. And Peter just jumped out of the boat. Out of the boat into the water. See, we have the two men. Look at the two reactions. One, the deep thinker, and the other one, the action man. But it is amazing how we must see and appreciate these two men. Do we appreciate the differences that God has made, whether in gift and ability or whatever it is? We must appreciate. Peter did a noble thing. The quicker I can get to the Lord, the better. If it's quicker to just jump overboard and get soaking wet and come up to get to the Lord the quickest possible way, I'll do it, said Peter. So these two men, they were brought together in this way. Deep thinker, it is the Lord. Action, I'm going to jump out of the boat and get to the Lord. Then, this is a wonderful chapter in chapter 21. I'll just mention, after they had dined, the Lord then took Peter for a walk. He took him aside. I would say that because when Peter turned around and saw John following, he was behind him. He wasn't just directly in the company. The Lord just took Peter aside. Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? You remember, Peter, when you said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come and walk to you on the water? You think Peter's a mean man, as if to say he made all the mistakes in the world? He's the only disciple that walked on the water. He had an understanding that if the Lord would bid him to come and walk on the water, the Lord would give him the ability to do it, even though Peter himself failed at that time. But Peter, because of all this, do you love me more than the other disciples love me? Peter, you said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. No other disciple said that. See, John, in the company of Peter, would see that this man Peter, though he may have just spoken a bit more than what he should on some occasions, however, don't write him off for that. You think of Peter as a man who was so forthright. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. No other disciple said that. John may have thought it, I'm sure he did, because he was a man of deep thought. It is good for us to be here on the Mount of Transfiguration. We have forsaken all and followed thee. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. See, John would have been in the company of Peter. He would have appreciated what Peter said. Peter, you are absolutely right. I might not just have the ability to say it like that, Peter. God has given you ability, Peter, to just speak out. John the deep thinker may have liked to have said it, and of course he would know it, he would appreciate it, but Peter was the one who spoke out. John had a real deep appreciation for Peter, and that's the reason I believe that through the course that Peter and John were together, John would have a real appreciation for Peter, what he said, and his quick action, his earnestness, and his love for the Lord. Peter, on the other hand, would have a deep appreciation for John, his spiritual worth, his deep thinking. Both these people are brought together. However, Peter was taken aside by the Lord, and when that question was asked, Lord, Peter, do you really love me more than the other disciples love me? You've said a lot of things. Is it really true that you do love me more than they love me? When he went through these various questions, John was just coming along behind somewhere in the behind the company of the Lord and Peter. because Peter turned around then at that point after he had answered questions and was absolutely convinced of the responsibility of feeding sheep, feeding lambs. And he too was brought into that place of care for his people. You know, the Lord's people are very precious in the sight of God. Let us treat them with care. Let us treat them with kindness. And let us not write them off every time they do something just that we may not fully agree with. Let us be patient with them. Let us teach them. Let us just appreciate them for what they are. And then he noticed John coming behind. Why was John following? Why wasn't some of the other disciples following? John seemed to have a care for Peter. John seemed to understand that Peter was going to do great things in the days to come. It seemed to be as if John understood that there were great days ahead for Peter. The Lord didn't write him off, and John didn't write him off either. He understood that there was a mighty work for Peter yet to do. Then Peter, in his quick action, quick thought, Lord, what will this man do? What will John do? Well, it's really not for you to even know what John has to do, what I have in mind for John in the future. Peter, you make sure that you follow me. That really was the call. Peter, you follow me. John has a work to do that you can't fill his shoes. You have a work to do that John can't fill your shoes. You do your work, John will do his work. But you make sure you follow me. In whatever work, whether it is in public or in private, you need to follow the Lord. We often see the whole, in a public way, the preaching of the gospel. But even in a private way, you make sure you live close to the Lord so that you have opportunities to serve him. No one else is there. No one else sees it all. No one else knows much about that kind of work. It's all private. Andrew understood that. Peter's brother. There was no jealousy with Andrew as if to say, my own brother is the one that gets all the praise. He's out in the open all the time. I'm just sort of not seen. We can't do without Andrew. Of course we can't. And there are people in this company and in all our companies, people who are doing a work unseen. Yet whatever it is, whether it's public or private, we have to follow him. We need to live close to the Lord. Then we find, we'll just make a few mentions in the book of the Acts. When we come to chapter 2, the Spirit of God has come. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. Peter says, he is a man of words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God you have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised. So forthright, so definite, never sort of getting around the issue. Peter was a man of very accurate words, fearless man. Here he stood forth, he was not afraid to just speak boldly, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And here he just declared a message. And you know what? Only Peter could have the ability to do that. Peter was the man, because God had given him the place to do this. In chapter 3 of Acts, we find that Peter and John were at the temple with the healing of the impotent man. Peter just said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Then in verse 12 of the same chapter, the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate. You've denied the Holy One, You deny the just one. You deny the Prince of Life. But then we find that though Peter was in the forefront in what he had to say, verse 13 of chapter 4 says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. You see, John seems to be, there seems to be a real coming together here. John must have really felt, you know, Peter, I admire you for what you're doing. You are really out there with the proclamation of the gospel and the definiteness in your attitude and the fearless way you just stand forth with the word of God, the declaration. Peter, I sort of envy you in a way. But here we find that there's a coming together, because it says, they saw, verse 13, they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Not just singular, not just Peter now, it's the boldness of Peter and John. They perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. They marvelled and took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Then in verse 19 of chapter 4, Peter and John answered. So here they are right together now. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. You see, John was being strengthened by the company of Peter. Though that they had different work to do, yet they were encouraged by each other. John was being strengthened by Peter's forthrightness. Peter was such a good example. Peter was such a good example in his companionship with John that he writes. But Peter was given a good example in John. As he looks upon John, then he writes his letter. Having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil. That's 1 Peter 2:8. Peter just understood that John was very gracious to him. John was very courteous to him. What could John have done in the temple, in the palace of the high priest? He could have told Peter, look, Peter, you're a bit ashamed of yourself. I'm not going to have anything to do with you now. No, he was courteous. He understood that Peter just needed a lift. He was spiritual enough. And so that's why Peter wrote, be courteous. He had that amazing influence that John had to him. But then on the other hand, we find John. John was a very forthright man, and no doubt his company with Peter would have strengthened him in this. When Diotrephes had to be spoken to in the third letter, the third letter of John, there was no backing off. John faced Diotrephes face to face, and there was no pussyfooting there that day. He faced him head on, and he had the forthrightness just like Peter did. You think of John's epistle, chapter 1. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we're telling lies. See, John is very forthright too. If we say we have no sin, we're just deceiving ourselves. So we have at the end of the story these two men brought together, that they lived their lives, they were used mightily by God, and their letters and the record of their life is still doing us good as well. They're a real example to us. Both two men, two opposites, holding fundamental truth, getting on well, and the whole pattern of it is God has been glorified. And so we as the people of God, we're all different. Let us just serve him in our own sphere, not wishing we had someone else's gift, because, you know, we will be a misfit there as well. Because if we start delving into and trying to imitate someone else's gift, we will not have the grace to go with it. Because the gift goes with the grace. Ephesians and Colossians tell us this so clearly. The gift goes with the grace. Grace according to the gift. Romans 12 and 1 Peter 4. The grace and the gift go together. And so if we try and imitate someone else's gift, there'll be no grace from God to carry it out. Let us just do it as unto the Lord. And the whole point is this. We need to just simply follow Him. Mm-hmm.